Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, Great. 9, 8, 7, Fine. 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, oh, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the time.
Welcome to Ignite Luminous Life and Intuitive Business Mastery. It has been me, your host, Dr. Raina Espinal, and I'm super excited and honored to have you joining me for our radio today. So welcome. I'm like so honored to have you here.
Thank you, Raina, for what it's about to down, and we're going to be inspiring every single happen.
Totally. So, you know, I want to tell a little bit about you because you are this.
I did it at all. It was like the opposite of everything you talked about. It was very humbling to me. And I think that a lot of people oftentimes wonder, like, how is this going to work? Me? How is it going to look? I'm so frustrated. All I know is that I want to change people's lives. I want to inspire people. I have to be smart. Deflated and there were numerous walked away from the dream because I felt like I didn't have a path, a direction. I wasn't being solved. I wasn't making money.
And I love that you're saying because I think that's super important that our audience is here. And we're going to be seeing this video verb. You also might see me like because we actually had some tech difficulties right before we started. So, you know, in some ways, this is really cool because it's really about linking to, you know, flow with, like, what's happening, right? Life and stuff is perfect, and there's always all kinds of challenges and difficulties that we experience as we go along. And so, you know, so I love that you're sharing this piece because I feel like that's one of the things that is most. And there's also a piece of you that I love, love, love. That, I don't know how much you talk about. And it's sort of that spiritual with, guidance that you really bring into all of the work that you do. Sometimes you talk about it and sometimes you don't. But I feel like that like so much a part of who you are and how you like both lives. You know? So I'm really, really. Why didn't you tell us, like, how did it all start? It all started. Like, was it the dream to be a musician? Was it the dream to be a speaker? Like, where was that?
Starting over and what our society was like. And I had a really hard time getting my attention to all these big publishers. And eventually I got so discouraged that I just stopped the book. You know, I was maybe halfway in. I would send it everywhere, and I just felt that I wasn't the response that I thought I was going to get. I was going to meet a lot of people, and I'm just going to write a book, and it's going to become best-selling book. And then I knew I had these insights, and I wanted to share with the world. And so I did a writer, and when it was my next inspiration was to be a singer-songwriter because I thought, well, this message that I have not been it makes it the best way for people to hear it is the power of music. And I felt like I had this music inside me that I need to come out. And so I combined music with that and became a singer-songwriter. And after my first experience doing my first show, I only knew one song. I wrote a song, and I did it. Has been playing guitar for me. And I just had this deep experience with people and how much it touched and impacted them. So from there, we started to grow and expand, and I had a fan base. And I was in a lot of like gigs and all kinds of things. thousands of people in my band club, lots of it became very overwhelming to me because as I was growing, I was still the artist, but I was also the band, I was the agent, I was the publicist, and I was dealing with it well. And over time, like, I just had less people coming to my show. And even though like, I was getting radio play and I was having a lot of benchmarks, like the momentum just started fading. And it was just like there were so many other musicians that were all trying to do the same thing. And, you know, even though my music had a message to it, it was really positive with other music artists. Mm-hmm. And it became especially difficult to stand out. And, you know, over time, I had just some experiences that I was really challenged with and really faced with. And then I made this really powerful decision, which was that the bars and clubs, the coffee shops, things like that where I was normally performing, I had to do so much work to get all these fans and audiences to my show that by the time I got to my show, I was exhausted. Doing all my own self-promotion, marketing, everything else.
And during this, you're talking about you being having shows purely as a singer-songwriter, correct? Or were these shows, okay, yeah. And I just wanted to clarify because I think that, you know, as I'm listening to you, kind of equate that to like some of that both you and I work with, where they are kind of doing differently, right? So that would be kind of parallel to doing in terms of like the concept and just music art.
Into the concept that playing for free is good for us. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for me, I believe, to a certain extent that it is, but I start charging. I was and I would have private concerts and things like that, but I wasn't getting paid by that. World of prosperity. I can't have one foot in scarcity, which is like starting a world, and then another foot into the abundant, prosperous world. I can't do both at the same time. So, I have to make the decision. Decide on how my mental health is. I just said, I don't know what my mental health is. I just was clear on what I know. Please sit down and tell what I know. Because you're probably doing it. And not only are you doing it, but you're doing it over and you get the answer is just giving up. And you answer being that is to work harder. And the first thing that happens, just may happen, it'll all start to manifest. Well, this is because, like, we're not the songs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're the stories.
Right.
Songs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People would tell me all the time.
Yeah.
And they would love to share all these stories about songs, how it made it happen. Mm-hmm. And I got was people loved the art, but I never got that could become my business.
And honestly, I mean when you and I met, it was a different time that when I saw you performing. It's actually both. It was your, and we'll play on because those of you that haven't heard you are this, you are this very divine musician. You're like this very soulful musician. When you sing, like you are literally sharing your emotion with people, and completely transmitted through your music and through your songs. And so, you know, and I think that the lyrics of your songs also speak. So when you started talking about the stories, speaking as somebody that was in the audience, right? And like, you
yeah.
super.
And that's really where the magic is.
Mm-hmm.
And he just felt so simple, I couldn't take it. Because I felt like to have sex, like, it has to be hard. And I have to deliver all this amazing new content or so proud, because I no longer want to do the work of getting people. And I didn't know how I would go about doing this.
Right.
I knew what I wanted. I knew that, like, once I knew what my no was, excuse me, then what my yes was yes, I want to be friends with audiences that are already there and not do anything.
Right.
Yes, I want to be in front of audiences that really value my lyrics, you said, and are really engaged and are captivated. And yes, I really want to be on big stages in front of big audiences. And yes, I really want to get paid well for this.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my breakthrough moment came when I found myself at a seminar and there was a few thousand people in the audience. And I was sitting in the audience and I had realized in that moment that there was no live music at this event. And that if there was live music, it would just be so much more of an emotional experience for people. And that because I have lyrics and message, like, what if I tied my music into the theme of this seminar and had songs to complement it? It would really enhance the seminar and everybody would win. Like, the seminar leader or company would win. I would win. The audience would win. And so when I had this thought, immediately, I felt like I had to do something about it. Like, I had to take action.
Uh-huh.
And so I found the organizer of that event. And during one of the recitals, and I asked if I could perform on his stage. And I happened to have my guitar with me on my stage. And do you know how much they pay me? I don't know. And he said, well, why should I have you on my stage? I said, well, I do something that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, what is that? And I said, well, I sing. And okay, well, more. I said, well, I tell stories. I tell really interesting stories. And I sing original. And I love the audience right now.
Awesome.
I told a story. And then I got the car out. And they say, I'm on stage, I'm on.
So that's the same day. Like, that same day. That.
Like, an hour later.
Awesome.
So can you be after lunch? And then after lunch, there I was on stage, and I remember, like, the microphone. And, you know, we have a very plus time for you today. And then they gave me, like, I had tell my story, my story, and then I sang a song. I got everybody up and dancing, and like, the whole place is going crazy. What an amazing way to bring people back.
Totally.
So it was super energizing, and the message kind of perfectly fit in with the overall seminar, a huge seminar room, and I didn't have to do anything to bring them there. And I bet I could do this on lots of stages and get paid not from individual venue owners, but it is basically nothing. I wouldn't have to pay money. These seminar leaders would actually have budgets for their events, and they could pay me. And not only could I do this at seminars, but I could do it at corporations, and I could do it at colleges and high schools and conferences and conventions, right? And then this whole world opened up for me, and I realized everything I wanted is right here. Now, here's the amazing thing. Like, I have been to so many seminars before that.
Right.
I go to a lot of them.
Right.
I never had this thought until I became open to it, because I wasn't trapped in the machine anymore.
You have done so amazing nuggets that I just want to pull out and emphasize. I think, the first thing that you said was recognize your nuggets and being willing, you can't be, love how you be with one foot in scarcity and one foot in abundance. I get super clear and figure out what my goal is. And in some way, it's huge, right? So clear, no, and take that lead. The piece that I thought was fascinating, that as you're in the sound, you're you're having these thoughts. It didn't really take a whole lot of time to filter through your mind. Okay. You were yeah, that's great. I'm going to go on talk. You went and got up, and talk to the person and, set it right there. And he's like, okay, well, sure, I do after. Do you see what I'm saying? So you didn't, wait. You just took the risks and super, you didn't have a plan. And it takes a lot to kind of start recognizing, not everybody actually forgets this or comes really to me. So I think those are, just really big step that you took, and I kind of wanted to hide because it's really beautiful.
Thank you. And to expand, I acted right away because I knew that I helped out of it.
I think
whether I wanted to leave the university and start and I remember saying, stop paying attention to where all the doors are closing and notice where things are going. And it was honest since I said it. I knew that that message was I was in that period the university cushy and there's the insurance, blah, 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 right? And I remember just kind of that coming through and realizing that's for me.
What a cool message. Do you know the last job that I had working for someone, the last job I was working at a university?
Awesome.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Because university, on the outside, it looks really prestigious. It's what a good job. You don't leave that job.
Right.
And to leave that, to follow your purpose. I believe that if you've never lost your mind, you've never felt your
heart. I love that. If you've never lost your mind, you've never felt your heart. I love that. One of the quotes that really inspires me, and it's a very long quote, and I don't have it memorized. It's one of Steve Jobs that starts, this is for like the crazies, the round pegs, and the square holes, the misfits. But it always ends with, which is the part that like really, really resonates. The only people that change the world are the ones that are going to think they can.
Yeah,
and I love that. Exactly. I love that. Because every time I'm about to do something that feels crazy and like my body feels like, what are people going to think? And blah, blah, blah. You know, like, every time, because every time we're stretching ourselves, like all fears are going to come up. Right? Like, nature, right? And it's going to try to pull back into what feels comfortable. And, you know, and every time, you know, something gives me that look of, which sort of experience, you know, I call it the look crazy, because it's like they give you this look of like, bed, or really crazy, or you just lost your mind, you know, you just can't quite figure out what's happening to you. They're like, oh, you know, doing that.
Yeah.
You know, then they bring that to them, like, it's okay, like, for all the matter, like, you know. It starts with embracing crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. And, you know, something I said earlier is that to follow the flow, to follow that. But I'd say that it's a really important ingredient. Committing, then you know you're on the right path.
Yeah. Totally.
They have to spend that 1.5 if it's massive. And I wouldn't
be scared. I'm just saying that's not how it works. If you're not, that's a flashy thing. You and I are so on the same page. I do the mission training a lot about simple solution by saying if it feels good, it's mean if it feels bad, it's bad. Like wrong, usually when, you know, I talk about decisions and the great decisions, and the great decisions feel the freest. And that's the biggest indicator. I'm like, oh shit, that's the thing that I need to do. You know,
that's the one.
Totally.
It's like almost all the time. That's the one.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
I agree.
So we're about like a little bit about halfway, and I really, really want our listeners and to be able to hear your music. So what I love is, so what I want to do is I want to give them the link to, you were so gracious to share with us your speaker blueprint. And I want to give them that link so that they can go and, I don't know, maybe during this break, go and download the fearlessspeakerblueprint.com. And that is basically where we're going to get your speaker blueprint, which I think is really fantastic. So it's the speaker blueprint. That's all one word. And then I'm going to play your song, which is Freedom Day. It's your favorite song. I'm curious.
I don't have a favorite song.
You don't have a favorite song.
No, that's why I asked you. Like maybe they have their favorite child, but yeah, I just don't have
a favorite. Oh, come on. I'll have to press you on that, but
my favorite ones are usually my newest ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones I'm most excited about playing, but the song that we're gonna play just really ties in with my standout story, which we didn't have time for me to get into, mm-hmm. but it's like I tell that story and then I sing the song for it, mm-hmm. and especially related to a lot of entrepreneurial audiences,
mm-hmm.
and that's why I called it Freedom Day, because it mm-hmm. was about when I left my job for my dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which you were telling us a little bit, so, and I'm happy to, like, so I'll play, and maybe I'll just play a little segment, so that then you can kind of decide
you know, do you want to, you know, go and tell us more of your story, or do you want to kind of tell us a little bit more about, like, how to, you know, like, what is it, all the things that you're doing for people and how that,
yeah,
you know, how you're helping them and that kind of thing. So,
of course.
Okay.
So,
I'll bend, but I won't break, 'cause I'm much stronger than anything that tries to buckle my resiliency. So I'll unpack myself and let my soul finally breathe the fresh air of freedom, the liberation of me. I'm planning my prison break. In broad daylight, I'm not afraid. My fears have held me in captivity, but now I want the world to see the real me. I'll step in my empowered shoes, walk on air if I choose. I'm leaving the shell of who I used to be and taking control of my destiny. Time to get out of my own way. My freedom day is here. My freedom day is here. Like an eagle wild and untamed. My freedom day is here.
So I'm going to stop if I didn't want to, because it's like beautiful, and like, I'm like, oh, this makes me want to dance.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
It's just so beautiful. And I mean, I love your music. I don't know how many of our listeners know this, but I'll share this little story of, I've, you know, watched you at Del Barron, and I was just so moved by your music, you know, and I just, like I said, I just wanted to dance with it. And so, you know, I went and choreographed this piece, someone else, you know, and that was just so beautiful. And so it's just, I mean, just the synchronicity of just how we've met, and, you know, me being able to go back and share with the audience, you know, being able to do my dance and speaking, and you inspired me to do more of that. It's been like really, really transformational. And so I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge you for that, because I think that there's a lot that gave us a huge impact on people and we don't even know it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you really touched upon something that's important, because I could be where we've talked about the big songwriter side, and people say, oh, I don't understand how that makes speaking, like,
right?
Because you gave people my speaker blueprint. It's like, well, we're talking about the music, and then how does it become a speaker thing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. And really, because you and I have had multiple conversations about this, what it comes down to is giving people permission to combine creativity with speaking. So for me, it was like when I was telling my story from state and combining that with my music, it became the speaking. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I started the other way around and started teaching all this amazing content and then I told stories. Actually, teachers are storytellers. So, and with, like, you talk about your aerial dancing, with me and music, what we're doing is we're combining performance art with speaking, which makes it even more powerful.
Right.
And so there's this, like, artistry, it opens up people's hearts. Like, when I sing for people, that does something that my speaking can't do. Yet my speaking things and my music art with the speaking is really an incredible, not only experience for the audience, but maybe so much more marketable too. And then if you're an aspiring speaker, but maybe you're not an artist and have a performance art, then the art comes out of your story.
Right.
And the art of your story is what then like allows you to become a great speaker, because when you think of the best speakers aren't teaching you all this stuff that you're not going to even remember anyway. You're just going to remember your story.
Right.
Yeah.
And I love that, because you were saying if you don't have a performance art, I think that there's a lot of people that actually don't give themselves permission to do their art. They are artists and they're artistic, they don't give themselves permission, or it's like this hidden thing that, you know, that's my hobby, right? Instead of like,
yeah,
I could,
that's what I do and no one's watching. But that's my thing on the side. Like, you know, I mean, so whether you're a painter, I mean, I have artists who paint and speak at the time and they get paid to do keynotes for that.
Yeah.
They dance and speak at the same time. They do comedy and speak at the same time. They do poetry and speak at the same time. I do live music and speak at the same time. And I can actually get paid more for it because I'm providing the entertainment, the inspiration, the art, and the speaking.
Totally.
Right? So we're having an advantage here.
Totally. And well, and I love it that you said it, but if you don't have an art, it's your story. Because what was coming to me is that as artists, we see the world through story.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
I think
true.
That that's part of, you know, and I think that all of us as human beings have that capability. Like, we connect through story.
I mean, that's, like, that's what makes things memorable. That's where we really connect. That's where the value is. And so for me, because I was telling stories for years, and I didn't think I could monetize that. Why? Because, again, it sounded too easy. Like, I've been telling stories with the guitar in my lap. However, the stories is what will get you booked.
Right. So I want to repeat that. The stories are what will get you booked. I always teach my clients that stories are also what will give you clients, because it is your story that will attract people to you.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is, like, when I tell my story, I don't feel like I'm selling anything. Because
right.
I'm just telling my story.
Right.
But then what happens is I have people who want to work with me, and then they hire me because of my story. But that's a beautiful thing when we talk about, like, selling and serving,
mm-hmm.
and that people buy your beingness.
Yeah.
Like, that's where the truth is that I'm not, like, intending for people to buy. I'm just telling my story. But then people feel like, oh, I really resonate with this person.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really connect with their story, and stories are so much more relatable to your audiences, where now we see each other's humanity.
Yeah.
And that's what people are really starving for.
Yeah. Yeah. Huge. Love that.
Thank you.
So you have been sort of telling us a little bit about, you know, how you broke free, which I think was, you know, some of you kind of gave us some of the steps that you took. But I'm kind of curious about, like, what feels important for you? Like, do you want to share your story more? Do you want to tell us a little bit more about, you know, how you are kind of combining the intuitive piece with stage?
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
I think people get the essence of my story.
Yeah.
Because I could go on about it, but, you know, I think there's some other things to dive into. So, you know, you talk about intuition,
mm-hmm.
and I really make my decisions through intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times, like we've said, it's the scarier one.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually where the intuition is guiding me.
Yeah.
And when we talk about speaking,
mm-hmm.
you know, really speaking from stage, because I tell people that, number one, the best speakers are the ones who are the best at being themselves.
Yeah.
And then number two, the best speakers are the ones who follow their intuition from stage. And so people feel like, well, I'm like, God, how does that work? Because I'm supposed to be on stage giving all of this incredible content. And like, when I started speaking and doing keynotes for the first time, like, I thought I had to deliver all this unbelievable content. And it took me a while to figure out it has nothing to do with content. And what I mean by following your intuition by on stage is, you know, when you just tell your story and then you have a conversation with your audience,
mm-hmm.
and you allow for the intuition to come in because you're not in your head thinking,
yeah.
I have to get this perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there are moments, especially at my live events when I don't know what's going to happen next. And you've experienced that.
Which is so fun.
I don't know where this thing is going. But it goes to some magical places because people know I wasn't like in the structure. I wasn't lost in the structure. But I was in the moment. I would say that the greatest way I follow my intuition is by listening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when people think about speaking, they think, oh, well, speaking in the context of me just talking nonstop on stage. And actually, a lot of times, the less talking I'm doing, the better it is. Because now I know that that means I'm engaged with the audience and we're having a conversation. And maybe they're asking me questions or they're collectively going through something that I didn't know was going to happen. But now we're having the bigger conversation. So the lower conversation is, hey, everybody, look at me and how impressed you should be by me. Like, that's the way people think around speaking. Like, my job is to stand up here, stand on stage, and really, really impress you with how much I know, how articulate I am, and how successful I am. Whereas if you actually follow your intuition on stage, you realize that I'm just a facilitator for what's happening between you and me. And if speakers took the time to listen to their audience, and I don't mean like metaphorically, I mean like really listen by asking them questions and then them answering, you'll find that that's where the greater speech happens.
Totally, totally. And so watch the clock because we will get this out in like 9 minutes. But so people that haven't experienced this. So you and I laughed at this because, you know, like there's this knowingness about like really what you're saying about really going with the flow, which is like truly, truly what I love about you. And your last event, you know, there was a moment when somebody challenged you. And there was this kind of moment where you like sort of stopped and were like kind of like assessing and deciding like, okay, what do I do? And then you were like, okay, well, do you want to play with me? Right. And then you sort of just followed that thread, you know, and it was probably one of your like best shining moments, you know, I think, because it was truly an intuitive, like in the moment process. Right. And so I guess I wanted to ask maybe if you can say maybe a little bit about that or how do you prepare? Because certainly I'm guessing you have a loose structure of what it is that you're wanting to do, but then you're also like listening and then kind of making decisions.
Totally. I'm making decisions every moment because I go with like, so with the event, I go in with an outline.
Mm-hmm.
Of things that I want to teach.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing is I am unattached to the content.
Mm-hmm.
I know the content is a frame for greater things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we get so wrapped up in associating our content with how good we are,
mm-hmm.
then we don't want to get rid of it.
Right.
And I'm constantly assessing on stage, like, okay, this next piece of content has got to go,
mm-hmm.
because there's something bigger going on here.
Yeah.
And so throughout the event, and I do this in speeches as well, not just the whole event, but in keynotes, is I have like a hierarchy of my priorities that I am constantly going through in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm making those decisions.
Okay.
And I'm not afraid for you as an audience to see that I'm making a decision.
Because that's real.
Yeah, it doesn't last long, but I'm like, hey, where are the sales taking me? So number one for me is about community. Like really honoring the community energy that's being created in this room together. So whatever is gonna lead us to community first, I'm taking that. Then the second thing is transformation. Whatever in the moment is going to lead us collectively to the greatest transformation, that's where I'm going. And then the third thing is the content. the content is the thing that a lot of times I'm just getting rid of. Why? Because the community and the transformation is jumping in. And so I'm like, all the time, I'm like throwing content out. Or I'm saying, okay, well, now's not the time for that. I'm going to do it later.
Right.
So I'm really reading the audience moment to moment, which then is where it's a greater experience for the audience and for you on stage.
And I have to say, and I'm going to say this not just because you're my guest, but lots of people like to throw the word transformational. You show up and then it's like a informational, like, fire hose, like, you know,
yeah,
thing.
Right.
And I really want to emphasize how true and how powerful your event is in regards to transformation. Like, your event is one very few events that I have that is truly transformational.
Mm.
And I think that is super, super important for people to hear.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And that's the experience that I want to create and not just use the word because it's really great. But that's what people go with. They leave from my event and feel like I'm a different person.
Yeah. You have your event coming up.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, so the event we've been talking about is called Fearless Speaker Emergence. And it's not just about how to become a speaker, but what you need to experience, the change that needs to happen within you to emerge and become a speaker. So many people think, I just need to know who to contact, and then once I know who and what to say, and I have my template, I got my 30 templates, I'm going to fill in the blank of the templates, and it's really like how you up. So that's what the event is about for 3 days. And it's April 28th through the 30th in San Diego for your people to come.
So I'm going to give them the link. It's fearlessspeakeracademy.com/scholarship. So tell us about what the scholarship meant. And you have 2 minutes.
Okay. So yeah, fearlessspeakeracademy.com/scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a gift because we need more speakers in the world. So you register, give me a $97 seat hold deposit, and then when we show up to the event, I give you a $97 check back, and then hopefully we have the transformational experience that we've been talking about.
I'm sure that people will. Like, you absolutely, like, if you're considering lots of different events, like, seriously, get TM, because it is going to blow your mind. It is truly, truly transformational, and you will get to have all of the ideas of how else you can actually deliver your message. So get to it. fearlessspeakeracademy.com/scholarship. So, Tiamo, like, I know that you and I could really talk forever.
We got started.
I know. So I know it's so incredibly useful that you agreed to take time to come and, you know, talk to me and share with my audience, and it's giving us a 90-second warning. Do you want to make a last sentence?
Well, I really hope that I get to meet everyone in person and be hugged.
Mm-hmm.
Look in your eyes, so that you're sharing your light with the world in the way you've always wanted. And that's what I want most of you.
Awesome. I love it. So I hope that we get to see you there. And you want to know anything about me, my website is intuitivebusinessmasteryacademy.com. And until then, defy the ordinary, become extraordinary. And this is Elena Espinal signing out. And thank you so much, Tiamo.
You loved it.
You just got it tonight. Make it.
Coach on Fire Radio.